So thankful for that truth. If you have your Bible tonight, I'm interested in one verse of Scripture as we begin tonight. The book of Acts, chapter number 7. God just working this verse of Scripture in my heart. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. There's a phrase there, it came into his heart. Yeah. Preacher Darren, define it, the will of God, the purpose of God. Some of you, you're out trying to find out the will of God. I've got to chase down the will of God. Honey, the will of God, you don't have to chase down. The will of God, he'll bring it right to your soul. His purpose, he'll bring it right to you. You don't have to chase it down and pursue it. It's going to pursue you. Amen. And so tonight, I want to preach on this thought from this passage, a fresh perspective. What you and I need is a new viewpoint. We need a view vantage point from where we are right now. Father, would you help us then to preach the Word of God? Father, would you open to us the words and the precepts upon these precious pages? God, would you send the Holy Spirit to be our guide and our instructor and our teacher? Lord, would you help us tonight, Father, to have understanding, knowledge, and wisdom of the Word of God? And Father, would you help us then, God, to make application to our lives where we are tonight? Father, I pray that you'd be pleased to speak to our hearts and open your words to us. For this we seek and ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, this text is Stephen's defense. You remember how those religious rulers came after the man of God. He was a deacon turned preacher. They came after him and they brought him up on charges, and he stood to make his defense. In chapter 7, verse 1, the high priest said to him, he said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." And he begins right there at Abraham, and he begins to lay out the message that God had laid on his heart. And the Bible says in verse number 6, God told Abraham, and I compared this verse, you don't have to turn, to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. This was a promise that God made Abraham. Stephen recites it again in verse number 6. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. About 200 approximate years later, we know that there came a great famine, a dearth upon the land, in so much that the people of God from Israel had to go down into Egypt, where Joseph had been sold and had become the governor. Joseph revealed himself to his family, moved his family down there so they might have corn. And the Bible will go on to tell us in verse number 14, then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. 75 people came from Israel down into the land of Egypt. And over the course of 400 years, that 75 group of people multiplied to maybe 2 million people. And how they prospered and how God blessed them. And verse 18 says, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. Joseph being a type of Christ, the Savior, a new king arose, and he did not consider the things of God nor the people of God. And he looks and sees these 2 million Jews that are living there in the land of Egypt, and he feels threatened, and fear fills his heart, and he says, bless God, we have got to put these people under affliction and under bondage, because they're going to take over the land of Egypt if we don't. Verse 19, the Bible says, O Pharaoh, the same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. Pharaoh said, if a male baby is born, he's to be thrown into the river, and that baby would die in that place. He's not kidding around. He's afflicting. He's oppressing. He's putting the people of God in bondage, and now he's having their babies murdered. And the Bible says that Israel began to call out to God. In verse number 20, in which time Moses was born. We know his parents, Amram and Jochebed. They had a bouncing baby boy, and his name was Moses. He was exceeding fair. I read in Hebrews, he's a proper child. I read in Exodus, he's a good child. In here, he's a fair child. All three terms mean the same thing. It means that he's blessed with a purpose of God. I want to tell you tonight that you individually have a purpose of God. God has a specific will for your life and for my life. The Bible says that Moses was nourished up in his father's house for 3 months. And when he was cast out, you remember the story, Jochebed, she made a little ark there. She realized after 3 months, the baby's crying, his cry's getting louder. She couldn't hide him anymore. She made a little ark. She dabbed it with pitch. Hey, amen. She remembered the story, didn't she, about a man by the name of Noah who built an ark that God told him to build, and he dabbed it with pitch, and it was judgment proof, amen. And she put that little baby in the ark and sent him down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter saw him, and she saw that little ark over there. She sent someone to get it, fetched it out, and I just believe that when they opened the lid of that thing, that God pinched him real good, and the baby went, and it just melted her heart. God just melted her heart, and she had compassion on the child. And Miriam, his sister, went down there and said, do you need to get me one of the Hebrew nurses to take care of it for you? She said, oh, that'd be great. She went right back to his mother and said, Pharaoh's daughter's going to hire you to take care of your baby, and she's going to pay you wages for it. If my mom had known, she could have got paid for raising me. Honey, we'd been richer than the Rockefellers, amen? Now just think about it. Every other male child that was thrown in that river of death, they died there. But only one of them was in the ark, and he lived. Amen. That might preach right there. If you'll get in the ark, you will live, amen? Thank God. Now, the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Don't you know that his mama, Jochebed, as she was nursing him and raising him up, she reminded him of the promise of God to Abraham. She taught him about the God of all glory. Though he was raised up in Pharaoh's daughter's house, though he probably may have been next in line. Have you ever thought about it? He may have been next in line to be the next Pharaoh, the ruler of the civilized world in all the land of Egypt. Though he was lined up to do that, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. Now, I'm just thinking about the will of God and how God put something into your heart. Hold your place here. I want to read out of Hebrews about that great Hall of Faith chapter number 11. Let's just read a little bit about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going somewhere. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now God put something in his heart that was greater than the power of this world. Oh my, I feel that working in me. God's will and God's purpose in your life will be in your life something greater than all the power and the allurements this world has to offer. He rejected He could have been the next Pharaoh, and he rejected it. In verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. God put something in his heart that was greater than the pain he would have to endure and that he would have to suffer. Read on. And he said, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. God put something in his heart that was greater than the pleasures of this world, greater than the powers of this world, greater than the pain that you and I might have to endure. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Did you see that? God put something in Moses' heart that's greater than possessions, greater than chasing fortunes, greater than riches. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. God has put his will and his purpose in your heart and in my heart. And it's greater than anything this world has to offer. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. God put this in Moses' heart. And Moses went out to visit, go back to Acts chapter 7. He went out to visit his brethren, and when he did, he saw an Egyptian, a taskmaster, who was cruelly reprimanding, sporting, beating, oppressing, afflicting one of his Hebrew brothers. And Moses had heard that God would send a deliverer, and Moses, believing it was him, went in his own power and thought to deliver Israel in his own power and his own ability. He killed the Egyptian, and he took him and he hid him. And the next day, there were two Hebrews striving together. And Moses sat down and stood between them to try to be a leader and to try to bring peace. But when he did, they rejected him. And they said, will you kill one of us the way you killed that Egyptian yesterday? And when Moses found out that his own brethren had rejected him, he fled. He went off into exile, because he knew that he would be put to death for what he had done. The Bible says in verse 26, the next day when he showed himself, we'll read it to you, unto them as they strove, and would set them at one again, saying, sirs, you are brethren, why do you do wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. He fled away to get away from the problem, to get away from the embarrassment, and he went to the land of Midian. And Moses thinks it's over right there. Now I just want to stop and say, God put something in his heart that was greater than the power and the pleasures and the pain and the possessions of this world. And a God that does that, and you just walk away from it and you think it's going to be okay, God knew that Moses' efforts would lead to failure. God knew it. And God allowed it, because he knows that Moses needs a fresh perspective. If Moses is going to have success, he has to have some preparations in his life. And he's had none. Oh, wait a minute, Preacher Darren. Look at all the qualifications. I just want to say this to you tonight. Number one, if you are going to get a fresh perspective with God, if you're going to be used of God, if you're going to step into the will of God, number one, you're going to need to be emptied. Now you think about it with me for just a second. Moses was a statesman. Look again at verse 22. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was what? Mighty in words. He had the education that this, the best education that this world had to offer. He was eloquent. He was fluent. He was authoritative. He was powerful with his words as a statesman. He was a soldier. He was mighty in deeds. He had acts of valor. He was a mighty preparer. He was intelligent. He was skilled in military planning and strategies and advancements. Moses was a scholar, learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. What a resume. He's strong. He's 40 years old, a great speaker, and a man of action. But God said, you ain't ready. You've got to get empty of all that. All that you are, you've got to get empty of. All your advancements, all your education, all your scholarly skills, all your strength, all your worldly wisdom. God said, I can't use none of that. I don't need it. I've got to get you empty of that stuff. And verse 30, 40 years later, those 40 years when Moses was from 40 to 80, Moses became a shepherd. And after 40 years, God appeared to him, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the bush. Verse 41 says Moses wondered at the sight. Verse 32 says that Moses trembled and he durst not behold. Verse 33, the Lord said to put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Look at verse 34. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now, look what he says. Look what God says. Now come, I will send thee into Egypt. God, y'all look at me. God did not say go. God said come. You know what that means? I'm going with you. Come with me. I'm going to walk in the will of God. I've got to get rid of all those things of the world, all the strength that I have, all the things that you look and say, well, he's got that quality, he's got that characteristic, and that's a good thing. Those are good. No, God can't use those things. You've got to get empty of those things. Amen. And God says, come now. I'm ready to send you down here into Egypt. Me and you are going to go together. Now I want to go back. You know the book of Exodus better than I do. Let's go read what happened here in the book of Exodus. Moses has got to get empty of some things. In Exodus chapter 3, look with me in verse 10. I'm going to wait till you find it. I hope I don't have to wait long. I feel the Lord stirring in my heart. We're going somewhere. He's going to help us. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, there's those words again. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I? Do you see that? Who am I? Here's this boy that had this resume. He had all the, honest right now, I guarantee you, for the service is over, and you are applying for college, or you are applying for a job, or you are applying for a loan down at the bank, and you ask me to sit in on your application filling out time, you would put down all these accolades that you have. I have this, and I own this property, and I have this much money, and I've got this skill, and I got this, and I'm a leader. And it's just amazing how many people we have that are leaders, but nobody's a follower anymore. Moses, here's Moses. You know what he said? Who am I? You know what that tells me? He's got empty of who he really is. Who am I, Lord? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Look at it. He says, who am I? Well, that's good. Because, verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Amen. You know, if something good happens, let me tell you something. People, they'll look and say, well, he's got this skill and this skill and this skill, and and this characteristic, we knew that would happen, but if a nobody does it, they know it's God. Had to be God. And God said, son, you've got to get to where you're a nobody. Who am I that he might be? I am that I am. Look at chapter 4, verse number 10. Moses said, here's a man. I read it to you. Mighty in deeds, mighty in words. Chapter 4, verse number 10. Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Did you hear that? This great statesman now says, I'm of slow speech and of slow tongue. Lord, why in the world would you call me to preach? God, why in the world would you ask me to stand up and teach? God, why would you save me and tell me to go witness to the world? I don't even know how I got saved real good, much less tell anybody else. God said, that's good. That's just what I wanted. I wanted you to lose your confidence in yourself and in your ability, and I want you to learn to look to me. If you're going to step into God's will first, you got to get empty of who you are. Number two, if you're going to step into God's will and get a fresh perspective, you're going to have Moses needed an experience with God. You see, it's good that he's got Amram and Jochebed, his parents that are godly people. That's great to have godly parents. Thank God for Roy and Sandra. They're godly parents, but they couldn't save me. I'm going to have an experience with God myself. It's not good enough that you go to the synagogue or the tabernacle or the church, wherever you go. I'm a member of such a, hey, that's good. But you're going to have an experience with God yourself. You need a personal experience with Almighty God is what you're needing in your life. Look with me in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this sight, why the bush is not burnt. God, when he noticed that Moses had turned aside to see, God spoke to Moses out of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. Moses said, here am I. Here starts his experience with God in the bush that burnt with fire. May I just point this out for a second? The word bush, I looked it up in the Hebrew, is the Hebrew word sene. And you know what it means? Thorns. It is a thorn bush. God, I think about the Lord Jesus. They put a crown of thorns on his head. What does it represent? When Adam and Eve sinned, God said the ground will produce thorns and thistles. There'll be suffering, sorrow, hardship, difficulties because of sin. God is speaking to Moses out of a thorn bush. He's speaking to him out of that which represents difficulties. Has God ever spoken to you out of a hardship? Has God ever spoken to you out of a pain, out of a debacle, out of an affliction, out of a problem? No, no, no. That's not the time you want to listen to God, but that's when God's trying to speak to you. Paul said this. He said he had a thorn in the flesh. That thorn in the flesh, he said, Lord, would you take it away three times? God said, nope, my grace is sufficient. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You've got a thorn. Ouch! It's hitting you in places in the neck. It's a pain in the neck, and it's a pain in the keister. It is driving you absolutely nuts. You try to escape it. You want to run from it. You want to hide. But honey, you hear me? You'll not get away. It's a thrice holy God that has put this in your heart, and you'll not run and hide from him. God is speaking to you out of your debacle. And Moses is amazed that God can speak out of such an event. Woo, hallelujah. And the Bible says Moses turned aside. You think about it for a second. When he left the land of Egypt, he thought he was the deliverer. He thought God had called him, and he had, to do great things. I was sure God put this in my heart. I was confident this is what I was supposed to do. But when he tried to do things in his own power and he failed, he went to the backside of the desert for 40 years. And don't you know that he is filled with 40 years with regret? Will you hear me tonight? I'm speaking to somebody here. You're online, you're in the congregation, you are filled with regret. There is an event that turned your world upside down. And you feel like that you were on the path serving God and something tripped you up and now it's over. You've gone too far. It's too late. God's forgotten about you, you think. You've missed God's will and you've missed God's purpose for your life. He felt that the prospect, he is now 80 years old, say it, 80 years old, and he feels like the prospect of him leading Israel out of bondage into a land of liberty and freedom has well passed his day. Yet the entire time, he was exactly where God wanted him to be. He thinks it's too late. Man, I've blown it. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to approach. Look, he approaches God. Verse 5, he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes. I got to do it. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moses is having an up close examination of the burning bush when God stopped him short and said, get your shoes off your feet. Keep your distance, boy. Be reverent. Shoes are a picture of authority. Is your authority to put your foot on somebody's neck? Is your authority to put your foot on new ground? And God says, get out of your shoes, boy. I am the power here. I am the Holy One here. It's not you. We're emptying you of you. You get out of your shoes and let me get in your shoes. I'll go to places you can't go. I'll take you to places you can't go. I'll stand when you can't stand. I'll walk when you can't walk. I'll go when you can't go. I'm talking about the will and the purpose of Almighty God. Get out of your shoes, Moses. You're on holy ground. God reveals who he's talking to. He says in verse 6, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. You see, Moses needed an experience with God, and he got it. And I'm telling you right now, somebody, you are getting an experience with God through the hardship. Oh, it's good. You're saved. Woo, glory to God, you're saved. Thank God for what he's doing. Shout now, hallelujah. But then difficulties come. Valleys sink low. The rug comes out from underneath you. Everybody turns against you. Your friends that you thought were your friends, they're talking, you think. But God's with you every step of the journey. And you are experiencing God. And God, listen, it was God that put it in your heart, and it's God that's allowing this whole event. And God is trying to speak to you from your burning bush. Will you hear me? Thirdly, if you're going to get a fresh perspective, if you're going to step into the purpose and the will of God, not only do you need to be emptied of you, not only do you need to have an experience of God, but thirdly, you need an education. Oh, Moses has got an education. Oh, come on. I already told you God can't use that mess. I don't care if you got so many degrees behind your name. It takes them a week to explain who you are when you die. That does not help you at all. It's your walk with God. Moses is going to need an education. He's got all the education and the wisdom of Egypt. He's tried to do things in his own power. He's a murderer. And he ran to the wilderness. And what is the wilderness? Let's talk about it for a second. What is the wilderness? It's a place of hardship. It's a place of dryness. It's a place of barrenness. It's a place of desolation. God, knowing that Moses was now ready to be emptied, ready to have an experience with God, needing an education, God sent him to the wilderness to get it. Preacher, what experience? What education will you get in the wilderness, in a dry, barren place? Might I remind you of the pandemic we live in? Might I remind you of the problems you face right now? Might I remind you of what it is that drove you to even be here and listen to this sermon tonight? There's a hardship. There is suffering. You need to get God's vantage point on this thing. Did you realize that Elijah came from the wilderness? The man of God, Amos, came from the wilderness. John the Baptist, he preached in the wilderness. If you'll hear it, before Jesus ever preached a sermon and before he ever did a miracle, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights where he was tempted of the devil on three great occasions. And every time Jesus defeated him with the purpose and the plan and the precepts of the Word of God. You are in a wilderness, Moses, and in the wilderness, God's using that to give you an education. What is Moses doing on the backside of this desert? The Bible says he is leading the flock. Here he is for his father-in-law, leading the flock, feeling that God has abandoned him and that God has forsaken him and that God has forgotten about him, feeling he's missed God's will and purpose. His dreams, his goals, his aspirations have sifted through his hands like sand. Was it too late for Moses? I'm going to give you a verse of scripture. Speaking of Moses, in Psalm 78 and verse 52, the Bible says, he made his own people to go forth like sheep, and he guided them through the wilderness like a flock. What's Moses learned to do? Lead the sheep. Keep the sheep. And God said, that's exactly what I want you to learn. The only way, I mean, getting them out of Egypt, that's nothing. I'm going to do that for you. Getting them across the Red Sea, I got it. But getting that crowd 40 years through the wilderness, you're going to need an education. And he sent him to Holy Ghost Seminary. And he took How to Lead Sheep 101. And he graduated with a doctorate's degree. He led those people out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and through the barren wilderness. Moses led them as a shepherd leads the flock. Hey, the education you're getting may not be recognized by this world, but God is educating you in difficulties and problems and hardships and how to lean on him and trust him and to help lead others through a moment like this. God's got Moses right where he wants him. Moses thought it's too late, but God's not forgotten. He's on the backside of the desert, but God the entire time is teaching Moses. I want to say to you tonight, the Bible says in verse number 3, and Moses said, I will turn aside the grief, the disappointment, the heartache, the problem, the burden, the affliction. It is time for you to recognize and get a viewpoint. This is God's will.
Amen.
And I'm going to turn aside. I'm going to stop what I'm normally doing, and I'm going to turn aside, and I'm going to see what God wants me to do. Preacher, will you hear me? You're listening to me online. You're in that small place. I'm talking to a young preacher tonight. You're here at this church, and you feel like I'm sitting on my pew. I'm not the guy getting to preach the big revivals. My name's not on the marquees. God don't know who I am. It don't even, and I feel like I'm missing God's will and God's purpose for my life. And you think nobody even knows who I am. And you think God has forgotten about you. But this entire time, God has been actively working His will and His purpose in your life. I'm asking you tonight, would you just take time in the middle of your hardship just to turn aside to see? Listen, God's purpose for your life, let me tell you how close it is. It's a matter of you bowing, getting your shoes off your feet, getting under His authority, putting Him in your shoes to do what you can't do, and just surrendering and saying, God, it's yours. Your purpose in life is as near as one look away. What you need is one fresh perspective. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What did the Bible say in Hebrews? For he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Amen.
He turned aside to see. You stand to your feet. I'm just going to stop. I got more, but I'm just quitting. Somebody come to the piano. I believe God has spoken. I'm supposed to say this. If God told you, get out of your shoes, get them off right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Get out of your shoes. Stop what you're doing. Get out of your shoes right now and say, oh God, I can't go anymore. I can't take another step. I can't, Lord, I can't, God, navigate myself through these events. God, here they are. I surrender to your will. I surrender to your authority. God, you're speaking to me in this moment, leading me and guiding me. I've not recognized it, but tonight I turn aside to see. Give them to him. Give them to him. Father, I praise you tonight for your will and your purpose. And God, staying in your will, Lord, seems for me to be difficult to do, and it shouldn't be. But my old flesh wants to run and hide, and it wants to gallivant and do things that are contrary to the leading of the Spirit of God. Father, I pray you'd help us, God, that we'd learn to get empty of our accolades and our characteristics. And God, we'd have an experience with you. God, through these moments and this pandemic, we ought to be having an experience with God. Instead, we're having an experience with flesh and the world and with Satan. God, help us to look to you. And God, you're educating us right now. We think, nobody knows who I am. Well, that's good, because God knows. And that's all that needs to know. Lord, would you help us? There's a young person. God, there's a preacher. God, there's a leader. God, amongst us tonight. God, discouraged. God, I pray you'd help them, Lord, to know that through this wilderness is right where you guided them to be. And you will bring them through it.
The God that brought them to it will bring them through it. Stay with Him. Stay the course. Lord, I love You. Thank You for Your word. In Jesus' name I pray.